For argument, United States v. Johnson, Mr. Daisy.
May it please the court, Bill Daisy, Indiana Federal Community Defenders. Our office represented Mr. Johnson before the district court as appointed counsel, and we continue that representation on appeal. The case is on direct appeal. Mr. Johnson pled guilty to two charges alleging production of child pornography under terribly offensive facts. He did so knowing that life in prison waited on the other side of the door. And he did so for the express reasons that he declined to put his young victims through the trauma of a trial. He reserved the right to seek review of two district court rulings on motions to suppress. He brings one before the court on review. As the court may have concluded in shortening the time allowed for argument, the argument in favor of reversal is pretty simple, and it's no more complicated than was argued in the brief. This case arose through some remarkable work by an analyst for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who matched a photograph to a young victim in Indianapolis. The police officers investigated, interviewed the victim, determined that the person who had both abused this victim and taken her images was Mr. Johnson. They were given a search warrant by a United States magistrate judge. They traveled to Ohio to a place they thought that Mr. Johnson resided. They were greeted at the door by a person who occupied the house. They went to the basement. They interviewed Mr. Johnson. They asked him if he would consent to a search of his computer and his living area. They did so after they learned that Mr. Johnson acknowledged owning a Dell computer, which the young victim had described, and after he acknowledged owning a silver digital camera, which the young victim had also described. At some point, the investigating agent told Mr. Johnson he was going to go seek permission or start the process of obtaining a search warrant.
He certainly would have obtained a search warrant.
Yes.
So what is the harm to Johnson? I don't understand. If he had refused consent, they would have sat around for a while until they got the warrant. Wouldn't have changed anything. They still would have gotten the evidence.
The best I can do with the inevitable discovery rules applied to this case, Your Honor, is to suggest that, number one, the court's correct. On its facts, this is a strong case for a conclusion that a warrant would have been issued had this process run its course. Looking at the fundamentals of the doctrine as expressed in the Brown case, that the teaching being that the inevitable discovery rule, or in this case an inevitable warrant rule, isn't to be applied casually. It's applicable when
I'm going to echo Mr. Levy in the previous. I can't think of a clearer case than this. They begin the process of obtaining the warrant. You admit they would have gotten the warrant. I think you should have filed an Anders brief. I don't think you have any ground at all for arguing.
If Mr. Johnson had received a 20-year sentence, I might not be here. Mr. Johnson's got a sentence of life in prison, and I'm here arguing as best I can his only issue preserved on appeal. Here's my point. This is a bad case on its facts to demonstrate this point. But, for example, had Agent Rothrock gone upstairs, started this process to get a search warrant, decided he wanted to get home and see his wife 3 hours early and it didn't want to waste the time, went downstairs and then whipped Mr. Johnson into submission, put out the thumb screws, and coerced his consent to a search. I guess I'd ask rhetorically, wouldn't the deterrent purposes of the exclusionary rule...
It's a different case, wouldn't it?
It is. It would be a different
case. You wish
you
had that.
Pardon me?
I say you wish you had that.
I wish I had that.
But you don't.
What I have is, if this court were to find that through misconduct, Agent Rothrock induced an involuntary consent to search, that if that were the case, that the purposes of the exclusionary rule would be served by exclusion, that it isn't a case where the deterrent effect has no bearing. So I guess I suggest that if the court were to come to the conclusion that this was an involuntarily induced consent to the search of the home, that the exclusionary rule should be applied if the court were to reach that point, even though a warrant was indeed inevitable. This is a stronger case on its facts for that conclusion than was Brown or some of the other cases that have dealt with inevitable warrants. And so...
Okay, well,
did the best you could.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor.
And Ms. Heller?
Good morning. My name is Gail Hellert, and I have represented the government throughout these entire proceedings. Mr. Johnson presents one main issue on appeal, that ICE agent Tom Rothrock's repeated request for consent to search, combined with his statements concerning securing the residence while a search warrant could be obtained, rendered his consent to search involuntary. Mr. Johnson's argument fails in light of the facts of this case. This court will review the district court's findings of fact for clear error. The district court in this case weighed the totality of circumstances, which is this court's test for whether Mr. Johnson gave his consent freely and voluntarily. The district court heard testimony from Agent Rothrock and Sergeant Hunt and Mr. Johnson and wrote its findings from that hearing on July 12, 2006. Fairly characterized, the totality of circumstances analysis looks at physical coercion and or psychological coercion. No such factor was present here. As to physical coercion, there was none.
Well, obviously not, so.
As to the facts relating to anything involving psychological coercion, those factors here also counsel toward rejecting his argument. Mr. Johnson was detained 1 hour, 5 minutes before he gave his consent, not an overly long period of time. Mr. Johnson was 48 years old, had at least average intelligence, and educated.
Does the inevitable discovery doctrine dissolve all those issues about the voluntariness of his consent?
Yes, it does, Your Honor, because even if this court would accept Mr. Johnson's argument that his free will had been overborne, the process of obtaining a warrant had already begun. The facts support that a search warrant could be obtained with the information that the officers had even before they got to the Ebenezer Street address. Examples are that an arrest warrant had already been obtained by probable cause. Jane Doe's pictures had been found on the internet. Jane Doe had identified Mr. Johnson from a picture. Jane Doe had described a camera, a computer, and the fact that Mr. Johnson had taken nude explicit pictures of her. Jane Doe had described...
You know all that.
She had described terrible sexual acts that he had done, evidencing a long-standing attraction to children.
Owen had essentially conceded the case. I don't know what you're...
The only issue has to do with the search, so if you confine yourself to that, you'd save time.
And without any other issues, the government requests this court affirm the district court's ruling. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hellert and Mr. Daisy.